My friends, please be seated. This morning we're starting a sermon series that is called God's Big Picture, a Bible Overview. This is the book on which it's based, and it's by the Reverend Vaughan Roberts, who is an Anglican priest in England and who is a New Testament theologian. I thought that we would do this as a Lenten series and that there are studies to follow each session. You will have received, I hope, and I think all of you have received a sheet of paper that looks like this. On the front of it is an outline of the sermon, and then on the back of it is a Bible study. And there'll be an opportunity for you, if you like, to grab your coffee and to head into the either Martin's space or my office, and for you to gather to go through the Bible study. All right? So that Bible study will build on the things that I will talk about in the sermons each Sunday, and they provide you for a time when you can do some Lenten reflection. The Tuesday night Bible studies are going to focus again on a theme that comes out of this God's Big Picture, which is the Kingdom of God. And they're going to look at ideas of the restoration of the Kingdom that happens because of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so if you're wanting to do a little more, then please speak to Julie so she can put out an extra chair, and you could join us on Tuesday nights as well to look at an added dimension to what it means to live as people of the kingdom and what it means for the world that God has chosen a people of the kingdom and invites people into that kingdom. I want to take you to this morning's reading that I was reading, and it just started with that during Lent, Sundays are often considered a day off from fasting and mourning, which many Christian traditions, and I might say Anglicans were the ones who started this. I don't know, did we find that, you know, 6 days was quite enough to fast and be serious and let's celebrate the resurrection each Sunday? I had lovely friends in Mount Gambier who taught me what that would look like, and Sunday lunches during Lent at their place was a lunch to die for. Well, this year, during Lent, there's time for reflecting on our wilderness times, the times when we might feel we've wandered away from God, or that somehow we are being tested, or we are undergoing hardship and grief. And so that time of lament and loss is often a part of Lenten times. But of course, as Christians, our grief isn't contained in that spot, because all the time we are looking forward to the fact that the resurrection has happened. We are not like the disciples who grieved after the death of Jesus until they knew about the resurrection. And then they were just terrified for about 40 days until Jesus came and assured them of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So there is a time on Sundays for us to go, that's right, where we are looking to the resurrection hope. We are even looking to the new creation, and that we have this hope that not only we can live in, but that we can point others to. And in the book of Revelation, that's the bookend to what we read this morning. This morning, Sheila read for us the outline of the creation of the world by our heavenly creator. At the end, John had a vision of a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and first earth had passed away, and sea was no more. And there is a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And John hears a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, The dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. God's kingdom restored. You see, my friends, the Bible, of which I can't put my hand on one just at this moment, is often talked about as a library. There are 66 books in this library. But I want us to know that this is actually one book, one story, and one author, God. The whole of the Bible is God's word. The whole of the Bible was inspired by God, written by humans, people of God who wrote down what in their way, the way that they heard God speak. Some of it direct revelation, like John saw. Much of it as heard, so the prophetic works are words as people heard God speak, perhaps visibly in the ear, just as the disciples heard Jesus speak, or as an inspiration in their minds, and who took down, not as dictation, it's not like the Quran is written as a dictated word. The Bible is written as an inspiration of the Holy Spirit, where people express themselves, which is why many parts of the Bible are very different to other parts. But we are to understand it as one book. It's one story with the one author, and it holds together. So that the book ends, the creation initially, that God came and spoke and the world came into being, and the end, the new creation, are one story. And that throughout that, God reveals his plan to build a kingdom. And during this time, what is the point of doing this? It's for us to get an understanding of what it is to be kingdom people. And that we're going to get a pattern of what this kingdom looks like as the initial introduction this morning. We're going to look at God's big picture, and the little icon in the bottom right-hand corner is going to be part of the visual that you will see come up a lot. Now, where do I point it? There it is. We've already said that it's the Bible is one book, and that's the premise that we're going to work on, that it's not just a random collection of books in a library. And that it takes us into two sections, the Old Testament, which is of promise, and the New Testament that gives us the fulfillment of promise. Do you remember the road to Emmaus? Jesus had risen from the dead, but the disciples really hadn't grasped that yet. Mary had seen Jesus and told them that he was alive and that she'd met him. And they were shaking their heads. And two disciples, discouraged and puzzled, are walking home to Emmaus from Jerusalem, and Jesus joins them on the road. And he starts with the words of the prophets and Moses and explains to them who he is and what he's come to do. So the only Bible that Jesus had and those disciples had to make an understanding of who Jesus is and what he's going to do is the Old Testament. So don't throw it away. The New Testament is absolutely crucial to us fully understanding the fulfillment of God's promises. But it's not the Bible that the New Testament people had. They had the Old Testament, and all that they needed to know about Jesus and why he's come and God's fulfillment of his promise was actually in the Old Testament. And the whole reason for the Old Testament was to show what the kingdom of God was to look like. God came, yes, and made a creation over a number of days. And the reading this morning shows us a God who alone is eternal. He is the one that was not there, he's the one who was there when there was nothing else. That was not a good mistake, was it? But there was God in place and he made the creation. At his word, the whole universe came into being. He is not only the creator, but the rightful ruler. And what he said was that this creation is very good. There was evening and morning and there was the next day, and God saw that it was good. And so we came that God then at the end of this chapter that we read this morning creates humankind. Humankind that is made in his own image. So there weren't only going to be sea creatures and bird creatures and land creatures. There are also going to be a separate entity called human beings. We know them as Adam and Eve to start things, meaning made from the earth. But God created this humankind to have dignity, to be set apart. They're different to the rest of the animal kingdom, and they were given a command to fill the earth and subdue it. Not wreck it, not rule over it, but to work with it and to work with God. And the climax of creation actually comes in Genesis 2, when God, on the seventh day, didn't work. Creation was complete on the sixth day, and God rested. So this picture of a kingdom is a world and a people who rest in God. Now, it doesn't mean putting your feet up in a hammock on a cruise around the Mediterranean. I'm sorry. It actually is about resting in the one who is the perfect creator and sustainer. Now, you know that Darian is an amazing cook, right? We eat it often. He was telling me about butter pastry and pears and caramel and this morning. I mean, really. But what we know is that there are certain rules that even he has to follow in order to get that just right. Right? So he's talking about making butter puff pastry, and you have to leave it to rest for 15 minutes. And you have to do the ironing during that 15 minutes. But there are things about recipes that you can be creative with, and there are some rules you have to follow. Now, I'm not sure if that is the best analogy, but it's one of those analogies that says if you do some things too differently, they mess up. God made a world in which we need to follow some recipes. We are made in the image of God. He is giving us a creative mind, creative ideas. Praise God for artists. That window would not exist if someone didn't think about God's creation creatively. But there's a limit to how much creativity, it has to be a creativity under God for it to fit the kingdom recipes, shall we say. The plans that God has for his world to work well. And we've come to understand more about those through science, through exploration, well, you know, the laws of physics, the laws of biology, the laws of biochemistry, they all exist. We can discover more about them, but we find that when we try and do some things that don't fit, we make a mess. And so God has a kingdom that has both in it freedom and patterns that work best. And so it's a resting in the God knows best, and that we are part of his creation in his world. And so we come to the idea that the kingdom of God is God's people in God's place, living under God's rule and his blessing. God's people, those chosen and made by him, living in the place God has given for them to live. And we've moved a lot from that very small place of the Garden of Eden. Abraham took people down and they lived in the promised land of Israel and Palestine, where we really don't want to be just right now, to the whole world. And that whole world has been given to us to live in as God's people. But it has some authority and rule over it. That is God. And it has great blessing and sustaining and provision through God's grace. That's the pattern of the kingdom. And we know that in the beginning, it started out as a perfect place. So sorry, did I stop something? There you are. That the pattern of the kingdom underwent some changes, so that we will look at a perished kingdom, a promised kingdom, a partial kingdom, a prophesied kingdom, the present kingdom with the coming of Jesus, a proclaimed kingdom, as we see in the New Testament and now, and we look forward to a perfected kingdom. And that's the flow of where we're going over this Lent. So God started in this place where there's God and creates man and woman to live in this place with the world. And at this time, there are perfect relationships between God, between people, and people and the creation. Now, you're going to find out, because it's only 1 week, that lasted a very little time. As we all know, by Genesis 3, it's falling apart. And all those relationships are broken. But this is the pattern that God intended, and it's the pattern that is to be restored and made even more glorious under the Lord Jesus. But as a starter, we're in this place. And this is where God wants us to be. And the point of God's word is to show us that God never lost this vision, and he never lost the plans he had to restore and maintain this vision. It's not as if God walked away and said, I'll come back later, shall I, and see how you're going. We will see next week that God was there the instant that it became imperfect. In fact, he hadn't gone away at all. And that's one of the things about the kingdom, is that we have a freedom to make choice. And if we want to mess up this kingdom, go ahead. It's not as if God said, go ahead, be my guest. But rather, I know you're going to go ahead, and I have a plan to be your redeemer and your restorer. And that's why When I submitted this order of service, the Kenyan service, to the Archbishop and said, would it be okay for us to use this during Lent? It's an Orthodox service, and I mean, he knew about it. He said, don't you think it has too many alleluias for Lent? But actually, it's because we know that God is a redeemer and restorer that we have too many alleluias in Lent. That we're not trapped in Lent, but rather have, even in this world, in all its brokenness, in all of its confusion, which is for each of you personal, for your neighbourhood is a neighbourhood thing. You hear yelling from next door, or you see broken trees because someone thought they'd pull all the council trees over, or you hear on our local news in the morning the crimes that have happened in the evening. All of those things that make for brokenness, I mean, for the Palestine and Israel, since this moment, has been a very messy place to live. But there's hope. Hope we already know in our hearts because of the Lord Jesus, and hope that we can point to. Where else will we go, Lord, except to you in these times of darkness and grief and brokenness? Where else? Who else has the gift of eternal life? So that's the journey we're going to take. And we are at this time sitting with the perfect picture. God rested. We are in the seventh day for all of its brokenness. The seventh day has not ended. That relationship of resting with God is with us. It's intended to be the pattern of our relationships. And through the Lord Jesus, we will see it undergoes a perfection again. The kingdom of God. God's people in God's place under God's rule and blessing. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in perfect relationships. Oops, sorry. That's the place we're at this morning. We look to exploring more throughout the whole of God's Word. It will take us up to, on Palm Sunday and the whole of Holy Week and Easter, we'll take a break, as it were, and we'll celebrate the resurrection. And then we'll come back after Easter, and I think we have three sessions to look at the completion of this study. If you'd like to dig into it some more, then there's three groups being organised to just gather and just bring with you your piece of paper after church, and over a coffee have some more conversation around this if you would like to. Right. There's no imposition of this. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you not only created us, but that you have given us a place to be, a place where we are to, with you, bring about change and growth and development that is in line with your kingdom. Lord, we want to hold on to this hope, this perfection, to look back at that, and to know that this is the foundation for what we are to be today. Lord, keep us growing in our faith and our understanding. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.